Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We've talked to Kenny Wallace a number of times on the radio side, television, podcast. Did something with him and his brother Rusty just a while back. But this particular episode is pretty specific. We've narrowed it down. You know, much like when we had Bob Costas on in March, it wasn't just about his career. I think he calls them the Wikipedia interviews where people book him and then say, remember that one time? And then there was that other time. Now, I like to do a lot of pieces that are career retrospective, and especially people that we haven't gotten to know that well over the years. But that Costas segment was all about the art of the interview, whether it was the Letterman style, the Larry King style, you name it. So this Kenny Wallace visit is specific to his recent visit to Alaska. Follow Kenny on Twitter, and you always get a total update of what's going on in his life. And he was racing in Alaska. So I started thinking, how do you end up racing in Alaska? Obviously, you're getting paid to go do it. Somebody had to get you there. What about your car? Where does that come from? And I love the anecdote that somebody locally, a local driver, says, sure, I got a car Kenny can use. But he gives him a car that he considers the crappier car, thinking, hey, that's okay. I'll get the chance to beat him because I got a better car. And then I'll tell everybody, hey, you know that guy Kenny Wallace? He used to be on Fox TV all those years, part of the Wallace Racing family. Yeah, I beat him at the local race, except he didn't. Kenny beat him. There's a great little nugget about that. Also, just the idea of being in Alaska, the great frontier. What did Kim and Kenny, the great Kim Wallace, with him on the trip, what did they see? What did they do? So it's the adventures of Kenny, but it's more specific. Kenny goes to Alaska, which does sound like a great children's book. It is the latest Kilcoin conversation, something a little fun, just talking about his adventure there. As always, we are presented by our great sponsors, which includes B&G Tuck Pointing. You can call and get an estimate if you need foundation repair, got some waterproofing issues, or you've got the bricks that are starting to fall apart. Could be the chimney, the garage, the entire home. Call the folks that are the best in the bricks. Waterproofing, so much rain, that's a big issue for a lot of folks. Make sure you check in with my friends at B&G Tuck Pointing. 365-0525 is where you can call to get an estimate. 314-365-0525. Rich Galati, you make sure you tell him you heard Martin talking about it and that you've got that brick area that needs a little work, and you finally made the call to the best in the bricks. B&G Tuck Pointing, they're on the web, bgtuckpointing.com. You can see some of the work that they've done around town, or just call them, 314-365-0525. Also, our friends at Marie Davila Senior Living, for so many years, the home to Red Shandings, the Cardinals legend. He was also on the board there. Since 1960, it's premier senior living at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. Villa estates, assisted living, all types of senior options. MarieDavila.com is where you can take a virtual tour. Good friends at Triad Bank, they've been part of the Kilcoin sponsorship going back to the Tony Talk, Pucks with Bernie and Panger. They've been with us since day one. Great folks, Triad Bank. It's nice to have a bank you can walk into and they're friendly. There are people there. You just don't get that in the corporate banking world. Triad Bank is St. Louis-based since 2005. Make sure you talk to them if you're doing business and you need to do a little more. They're St. Louis-based, which means they can help you get things done around town. TriadBanking.com or in person, Clayton Road in Frontenac. And also Appliance Discounters, where they have the great GE products. Get those GE rebates, General Electric. You know all about that brand. Get it at Appliance Discounters and get it quickly. Instead of waiting days, how about... Well, instead of waiting months, rather, you only have to wait days. Flip that. Reverse that. It's like Willy Wonka. Remember when he said, so much time and so little to see? And then Gene Wilder said, no, reverse that. Reverse that. Instead of waiting months, you can only wait days. That's what Appliance Discounters promises because they've got the giant warehouse in downtown St. Louis. Tons of inventory in stock delivered quickly to you. GE rebates, General Electric merchandise. What a winning combination. TheAppliancedDiscounters.com, the website, or stop by any of the area showrooms. Appreciate you checking us out. Let's take a listen to conversation with Kenny Wallace, fresh off the trip to Alaska.
Tell me, Kenny, how do you end up in Alaska? I said, this sounds like a kid's book. Kenny goes to Alaska. I saw all the pictures. I'm fascinated with traveling to Alaska. And my wife's in the background here saying, when are we going? But I saw your photos and pictures. And I said, not only does it look like a great trip, but I'm like, how did this come about?
2 years ago, before the coronavirus, my wife and myself had it all planned out. We were going, on a train. We were going on the cruise ship, and everything got canceled because of the virus. And I got lucky. A guy named Monty Pearson out of Fairbanks, Alaska, called me up and said, man, how can we get you up here to race at our northernmost dirt track in the world? I said, hold on. I'll be right there. Just pay for my plane flight. That's how it happened.
Oh, so they've got dirt? It's not ice? Even this time of year, they actually have dirt.
Great question. They don't have dirt in Alaska. That is most amazing to me. I had a big education. It's all rock. But what they use is called silt. Silt is just leftover stuff from mining gold. I had a big education in Alaska. So we race on it's called junk. For all of us rednecks, it's called silt. If you Google silt, it's just leftover stuff.
So when you walk in there, what's the level? And don't be humble here, but level of notoriety. People up in Alaska, how well do they know your name?
They know me, and I learned why they know me. Over 90% of the people in Fairbanks, Alaska, are all military. They're all there because that is where the United States, that's where we have our missiles. In case Russia tries to come after us, they come flying out of the ground, and they intercept Russia's missiles. I believe it's Greer Military Base. So everybody up there is in the military. So they're from everywhere here in the lower 48 states.
Okay, you're right. So these military guys could be, and women could be, from Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, whatever. And they grew up with NASCAR. So it's not just, hey, everybody in Alaska loves NASCAR. But so then you show up at the event. What kind of turnout for a race up there?
Well, I had to know right away that it was the biggest thing happening, right? So there was 1,700 people at this little dirt track, which was standing room only. They had to go to the local high school and bring in some extra grandstands. So it was a two-day event, and they brought in 2,700 people, which is a lot of people, you know? It was a big success for a smaller town like Fairbanks. Fairbanks is not that big.
And did you win? Did I see that correctly?
Yes, we won. Now, my disclaimer is this. There's not a lot of race cars in Alaska. So there were eight cars. And out of the eight cars, I won. And in the other divisions, there was only about 8 or 10. But listen, it was a great night of entertainment. And in reality, there was about 50 total race cars. And a lot of them were in different divisions.
So I think a lot of people were wondering, did Kenny haul, did Buddha go all the way to Alaska? Do you borrow a car?
Yes. And a lot of people do get that wrong. I do race about 70 to 80 times a year, but about 15 times out of the year, I drive other people's race cars. When we get into situations like that, so if I go to California, I'm not going to haul my race car all the way out there. So I was able to drive another man's race car in Alaska.
Well, he probably got a huge kick out of you winning in his car, just driving his car.
Hey, that's another story right there. He didn't like it.
He didn't like it.
Well, he is the local hero, and he thought he would give me his car that he did not like. And so actually, I was running second, and I was pressuring him. I was on the inside of him, and he spun out. And I got out of the race car after I won. I was real humble. And then he said, my power steering went out. I'm like, okay, I understand. Which he was lying, but, you know, I just pressured him, and he spun out, and I ended up winning.
So he thought he was giving you the shitty car, that he'd be able to beat you. And he wanted to tell his buddies that he beat Kenny Wallace.
You got it. Yeah. And I run up against this in a lot of places, and it's fine, you know. People hold me to a higher standard than I hold myself. They think just because I was in NASCAR that I'm something. And I have to remind these people sometimes, look, I was at best a B driver in NASCAR. Although I think what fools me is I was in NASCAR for a long time and did you know, win 9 Xfinity races and got some stats, but I didn't have a lot of success in NASCAR, but they think I did.
You know, it's funny you bring this up, because if you talk to a Reed Lowe or Tony Twist, guys who are fighters for the Blues, they go to a bar even now and people are like, oh yeah, you want a piece of me? Like, they just assume everybody's going to like measure themselves against that person or see how tough they are. I never really thought about that. So even in the summertime, when you're in the Midwest, if you're in a race on a Friday or a Saturday night, and it could be in Quincy or DeCoin or wherever, they probably are kind of amped up to beat your ass, aren't they?
Oh, all the time. It shocks me. I go to races where there's 40 cars. I was just up in, I was way up by Green Bay, Wisconsin. There were 72 cars that entered the race, and they only start 22. Well, I started 16th. And, you know, people, you know, just because I was in NASCAR, they want to outrun me, and that validifies that they're good. And then I do give motivational speeches at these racetracks. I remind them what the great Dale Sr. taught me, and I remind them that, listen, there are thousands of great race car drivers all over the world, and just because you are not in NASCAR does not mean you're not good. A lot of these drivers are really good.
Yeah, and it's so true. Like, if Kurt Warner never gets the chance in St. Louis, we may never know how good he was. There's a million athletes. You know, I was at a college baseball thing the other night in Alton, and these are college-age baseball players who are just smacking the ball and throwing it 92 miles an hour. And they may never get to the majors, but, man, they're still damn good. And that's what I think. You could be really good at your craft, but only a small, infantile percentage ever get to that elite spot for whatever reason.
You're 110% correct, Martin. And I believe that's one of my jobs on earth. I know it sounds crazy and corny, but I race all over America, and I've been putting those stats out there because a lot of people do want to see. I started out in Arizona. I've been in Florida. I've been up to Green Bay. I've been everywhere. And my job is to remind everybody throughout these local racetracks that, look, you're good. You know, don't be hard on yourself. It's amazing how many people just are so upset that they're not big time. And I got to remind them, look, you are good. There's a lot of reasons why people just don't. Some people don't even know how to make it to college baseball. Mind you, you know, single A, double A, whatever it takes. You know, a lot of people just don't know the avenue of how to get to Major League Baseball or the NFL. And there's more of those out there that do know how to get there.
So tell me about the trip itself. Where'd you guys go? And I was reading a little bit on this. I knew Alaska was big. I didn't realize it's twice the size of Texas. I had no idea. It's a fifth of the U.S. size-wise, Alaska. Obviously Fairbanks. Where else did you guys go?
Alaska is a very tricky piece of land. There are only 700,000 people that live in Alaska. Remind you, there's 6 million that live in the state of Missouri. However, we landed in Anchorage, which is, you know, a decent sized town, not that big. But, you know, Martin, from town to town, there's just nothing. I mean, the electricity even stops. It is true that the Alaska is very unbearable. You have to create your own lifestyle. And I know a lot of people that you get 15, 20 miles outside of Wasilla, Fairbanks, you have to have your own generator, create your own electricity. That's why there's only 700,000 people that live in Alaska. So in between the towns is beauty, nature, and nothing.
Put that on the pamphlet, beauty, nature, and nothing. So, but Denali, right? The mountain and pictures, like just like you could probably just sit there. They may not be serving Busch Bavarian on tap, but I bet Kenny could just sit there for hours and stare out.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, the southern part of Alaska, like I said, Denali, Anchorage, Wasilla. When you get closer to the southern part of Alaska, it's unbelievable. I would encourage everybody to do it, you know, by train and, you know, by cruise ships. I got close to Denali. I was 60 miles from Denali. The mountain is over 20,000 feet tall. Now, I remind you, Mount Everest is the highest mountain on global Earth at 29,000. It's towering. It makes you realize how little we are and how silly some of the things we worry about in life. And, you know, that's why they tell you when you're down on yourself and you're depressed, go see nature. It will humble you in a hurry and your problems become less.
Well, I love that. That's an original quote. I got to put that on a matchbook somewhere. What else? Denali, Fairbanks. So did just mostly yep. What did you guys do? Like little day trips or was it mostly business?
No, it was 3 days of day trips. So I would encourage everybody to go to Valdez. Valdez is the largest salmon hatchery. You know, they got to keep these fish going, you know, because we take a lot of them out of the ocean. But the salmon hatchery in Valdez, now, mind you, it's spelled with one E, V-A-L-D-E-Z, and I call it Valdez. They said, don't call it Valdez. The locals will make fun of you. So it's called Valdez.
How about the guy from Arnold actually looking at it and I think saying it the way it should be pronounced?
Right.
And they still correct you.
That's exactly right. I'm like, Valdez. Right. It's Valdez. I'm like, then put two E's in there. Right.
Yeah. So you'd recommend folks go and maybe take a train? I've seen trains, boats, maybe yeah. a combination of the two.
Yes, my recommendation would be if you're going to go to Alaska, and they're playing commercials on local TV right now, come to Alaska, and I recommend flying into Anchorage. You know, you can reach out to any of the travel agents, go by train, go to the middle of Alaska, get on a train, 2 or 3 days on a train, brings you back down to the ocean, get on a cruise ship, and then that's where you're going to really see nature's beauty. You know, just an incredible spectacle, and it will make you just, you know, deep breath in amazement.
How often do you get a call from somebody that says, hey, come race here in Oklahoma or in Texas or in this case, Alaska? How often does that happen?
Well, you know, it does happen. We do it about 15 times a year, and I enjoy it. It is a fun break to get away from my own race team. Listen, I always tell people, when you see me driving my own race car, that means I'm losing money. But you know, when I go drive other people's race cars, it's a good break because I do everything myself. And it's a lot of labor working on my own race car. When I go drive other people's race cars, you know, we're getting ready to go to Billings, Montana. Mark Martin, the great NASCAR driver, texted me. Mark's living out there. He says, Herman, my nickname, I'm coming to watch you race. So Montana's beautiful. It's vast, mountainous. So I'm looking forward to that.
Will you drive that one there? Will you haul your car there or no?
No. I'll fly out there. A lot of racetracks don't run my rules and my regulations. So their cars will look like mine, but they'll be different. So we got about 8 more races. I put my schedule out all over social media, and those are the races 9 times out of 10 I'll be driving somebody else's car.
And where do people find it? People listening, if they want to see a race this summer, maybe try and meet you, where do they get that schedule?
It's real easy. Go to KennyWallace.com. We have an awesome, easy website. I'm not promoting. It's just the best place to go, and all the links to all the racetracks are on KennyWallace.com. You just click on it. Takes you right to that racetrack and all about the vicinity, helps you get there real easy.
So when you get to Billings and a guy says, yeah, I got a car for you. And if you find out he's in the field racing, does that mean automatically he's giving you the shitty car?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell them all the time, give me the least you got and start me in last. They're all, you know, it's funny. The fans love me. The racers, they don't know about me. You know, they're like, who is this guy? Thinks he's all that. And I'm like, I don't think I'm anybody. but you know, listen, all the races are really good to me. But they do want to beat me. And I understand that. That validates them people in their own way. I don't think I'm anybody. They think I'm something. And we end up having a nice cold beer when it's all over. And we do have a good time.
How long are you going to keep racing? Do you think, you're still relatively young. I mean, do you think every summer you'll do a handful?
So I'm going to race this year and I'm going to race next year. And then I'm going to sell all my equipment. You know, Martin, I'll be 58 here in a little bit in August. So we'll race again next year. That'd be 59. And I'm going to celebrate my 60th year of racing just driving for other people. It's that time right now. Everybody around me is older. They don't want to work anymore. They want to enjoy their life. So it's just that time.
Does Rusty ever get a call to like race in a celebrity thing? Like do guys, certain guys say, no, I'm done. I'm never doing it. Even for a celebratory kind of thing.
All the time. Mark Martin will not race anymore. Mark, I believe Mark could still race, but you know, his eyes aren't as good as they used to be. You know, any athlete will tell you there's always that one thing, you know, Jeff Gordon said it was his back. Mark Martin, it's his eyes. My brother, Rusty, he's just won everything. And, you know, Rusty got in a car and he was 2/10 off of the pace. And he says, that's it. I'm done. And, but there are some drivers that look at it as just having fun. And then there's other athletes that if they can't compete, then they're just out. So it varies.
Well, and you're still winning. That's different. And you know, Rusty, I could see it too. He's a guy, I got a little bit of mystique. You don't want to be the home run champ that comes back and has 3 strikeouts and people see that. You know, there is a certain mystique in just walking away, I guess.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of funny we bring this subject up because right now there's this new series. It's a 6-race series called the SRX series. Ray Evernham, who used to be Jeff Gordon's crew chief, he started along with another network. It's airing every Saturday. The ratings are huge. They're like 1.2. 1.3 million people. And what it does, it brings together all the legends, you know, Bobby Labonte, Bill Elliott, Willie T. Ribbs. And it's been a sight to behold. They're all in equally prepared cars. They're coming to your local track. The next one will be up here in Indianapolis. And so that's become a big hit. And those drivers, they don't mind it. They're in their 60s and they're having a good time.
And I'm not trying to make news. I just thought of this. We're talking NASCAR. I'm like, when's the last time we talked about Gateway Worldwide? I know they're in the mix. Do you think we'll see NASCAR in the St. Louis area in the next 5 years even?
I still believe NASCAR is going to come to Gateway with the Cup Series. And here's why. Because NASCAR is finally admitted. President Steve Phelps, about a year ago, and he's reiterated it. He says, listen, we made a mistake. We reached out for new fans. And while they were reaching out for new fans, they forgot about the fans they got. So you see NASCAR, they stopped racing at Chicago. They stopped racing at Kentucky. And now they're racing at Nashville. They're going back to some of these tracks and, you know, they're trying to right their wrong. So I really think, you know, and plus NASCAR's saying 40 to 60,000 people in the grandstands, that's okay. And Gateway has great grandstands. They can accommodate, you know, NASCAR Cup when it does come to town. Now, this week, NASCAR for its very first time with the Cup Series is going up above Wisconsin. And that's going to be a big deal, Road America. And that will be the first time ever. I expect it to be sold out.
And Road America was a great kart series for the Indy cars would always go there, right?
Yeah, and it's vast land. What's great about this road course track above Milwaukee is, you know, those Wisconsin people, they love their beer. And it's like being at a park. It takes 5 minutes to race your race car around that racetrack. That tells you how big it is. So one lap is 5 minutes. Those Wisconsin people and everybody from all over, they're going to be bringing their cooler beer, and they're going to have the time of their life. So it's going to be like the Packers. It's going to be a lot of tailgating going on.
Kenny, great to talk to you. And again, the kid's book that we'll publish one day will be called Kenny Goes to Alaska.
Yes. Thank you, Martin.
Always love the energy, the storytelling from our buddy Kenny Wallace. And sounds like he's going to keep racing at least a couple more years. And if you're listening throughout the Midwest, he's probably coming to a town near you. He loves going to those dirt tracks in the small towns. And as it happens so many times, we stop the Zoom and we start talking a little bit, and he's like, man, we were in Alaska, and we rolled up in this town. There's a moose crossing the street. I'm like, oh, that would have been a great story. And I wanted to know more about if they saw any bears. I think up there, people just see a bear, and like, eh, no big deal. I mean, you see a bear in St. Louis, you call Fox 2, you're the lead story. Different world in Alaska. And how about those stats? Twice the size of Texas. I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, but every once in a while, you look some stuff up. And you're like, I had no idea. So fun to check in with Kenny. Thanks to you for always listening to our conversations. A lot of great feedback on the Will Clark interview from earlier this week, former Cardinal, former big leaguer, six-time All-Star, a lot of great takes, not only on his career, but on the current state of hitting or lack thereof in Major League Baseball. If you missed it, check it out. You can always find all of the interviews at scoopswithdannymac.com, website for the Cardinal broadcaster, Dan McLaughlin, but also on iTunes, Spotify. Subscribe. That way, every segment is delivered directly to you. Our great sponsors are Marie Davila Senior Living on the web at mariedavila.com, Triad Bank in Frontenac, Clayton Road. I think soon you're going to see another location for our friends at Triad Bank. Make sure you stop by the lobby and find out what they can do for you, whatever your banking needs are. Appliance Discounters with those great GE rebates, GE products, theappliancediscounters.com, and B&G Tuck Pointing. Bella and Gabrielle, that's what it's named after. Rich, the owner, named it after his daughters. How cool is that? Bella and Gabrielle. BGTuckPointing.com or 365-0525. Have a great holiday weekend. Thanks for checking out the Kilcoin Conversation.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.